Amen. What an awesome God we serve. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. We're in a series called The Greatness of God, and today we're going to look at God is great enough to meet my needs. We're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, and I'm going to ask everyone that is able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, I realize that in a crowd this size, there are many needs represented in this room today. And Father, I pray that when we leave this place today, that our focus will not be on our needs, but our focus will be on the God who is able to supply all of our needs. Help us, God, to trust you that in your greatness and in your grace is all we need. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I read about a farmer who had saved up his money and he went on a trip. And he was there, and he met a fellow who had mined diamonds. And he became fascinated with the thought of being able to go out and to find diamonds in the rough. And so he went back, and he sold his farm, and he set out the rest of his life being a diamond miner seeking to find diamonds. The sad thing of it is he spent his whole life looking for diamonds and didn't find a single one. What was sad is he died a very poor man, having spent all of his time, energy, and money looking for something that he never found. Now let me tell you the irony of this story. The fellow who bought his farm went out there and enjoyed working the land and was working on the farm, and one day had one of those frog-strangling, gully-washing storms. And he went out the next day to review the damage to his farm. And he noticed out there in the creek that ran through his property all of this sparkly stuff, and got to looking at it. And the storm had unearthed a whole bed of diamonds on that farm. The original farmer had sold it, went running off looking for something that was right under his nose all along. I wonder how many times we're like that farmer, that we go out and we're looking for something that we hope will satisfy us, looking for something that will fulfill us, looking for something that will complete us, when what we need all along is right here in front of us, and that is the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will meet all of your needs according to his riches. Let's look here at God's provision. The first thing I want you to see is the scale of God's provision. In verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am aptly supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. I want you to underline that word there, abundance. It's an interesting word. It literally means leftover. Leftover. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up and lived off of leftovers at our house, okay? And so you might not think of leftover as something good, but leftover means that you have all that you could possibly use and have some leftover. And so God supplies us abundantly. That is, God gives you everything you need and some left over. Now, I want to just point out to you a couple of areas that God provides for us abundantly. Number one, God provides abundant life. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it more abundantly." Many people think that the devil is out to help them have a good time, but the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy, to destroy you, to destroy your family, to destroy your happiness, to destroy your joy. He is not there. He is not your friend. He is not there to make you happy. He is not going to satisfy the longings of your heart. He is a thief. Christine Weber is a psychotherapist in Great Britain. And in the London Daily Times, she had this to report of doing a large survey of the people in Great Britain. Here's what her findings discovered. 10% of the people in Great Britain say they would be better off if they were dead. 1 out of 10. 25% of the people in Great Britain said that they are unhappy with their life. 1/3 or 33% said that they felt like that they were exhausted, unappreciated, and underpaid. Now add that up. That means 70% of the people in Great Britain are unhappy. Folks, do you understand today that money and fame and fortune and all of these things that the devil say will make you happy will not make you happy? If that were true, everybody in Hollywood, California would be happy. But they're not. But you see, the true satisfaction, the true joy, the true happiness, the true fulfillment in life is met in a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not met through people and it is not met through things. Secondly, God provides abundant grace. In Acts 4 and verse 33, "And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." I want you to underline that phrase, abundant grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited, undeserved blessing and favor of God. You don't deserve it. God just gives it to you as a gift. Now, the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." Why is it that we don't ask? I'm convinced that a lot of people simply don't ask for God's abundant blessing on their life because they're eat up with guilt and shame. That is, why would I ask God to do something good for me? I don't deserve it. That's the whole point of grace. You don't deserve it. God gives it to you anyway. And so start asking God for His abundance, because He is abundant in grace. You say, "Oh, preacher, I've messed up. I've got it wrong." That's the whole point of grace, is you got it wrong, God's got it right. He has abundant grace. It's not based on you, it's based on Him. And then number three, God provides abundant comfort. In 2 Corinthians 1:5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Did you notice what Paul said? He said, our sufferings are abundant. Yeah. Do we have a witness? Anybody got any sufferings? Anybody got any trials here today? Anybody got any problems? Huh? A few of you are honest. All God's people got problems, okay? All God's people do. But notice there, he says, our sufferings are in abundance. Well, if God loves us and God is so great and God is so powerful, why do we have this abundance of suffering? Do you understand God can't do a miracle unless there's a need? Did you understand that God can't show up and work something out in your life if you don't have a suffering, if you don't have a problem, if you don't have a trial? You see, all of that is just an opportunity for God to work and move in your life. Recently, one of our men came to me and he said, "Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I need to find a job." He said, "I lost my job." He said, "But you know what? God's given me peace that not only am I going to find a job, but I'm going to find a better job." You understand what they had? They had an abundance of comfort. Instead of worry, instead of anxiety, they had comfort because God brings comfort in abundance. And then next notice here that God is also provides abundant power. In Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Has God called you to do something? Well, he's going to provide you with all the power, an abundant power to do whatever it is that God has called you to. In his book, Radicals, David Pratt tells the story of a former ninja warrior. It seems like this ninja fighter worked for the local tribe. And one day a missionary showed up, and the witch doctor says, "All right, when we have our meeting, I want you to fight him and to kill the missionary." So they're having their meeting. The missionary says, "Listen, God does my fighting for me." And the witch doctor got up, and when he went to speak, he couldn't speak. And next thing you know, he couldn't breathe, and he fell over dead. And a great crowd of people gathered around, and the missionary stood up and told him about Jesus. And the ninja fighter gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. The guy that was there to show up to kill the missionary became a Christian. You see, God has abundant power. Whatever God calls you to do, he has the power to make it happen. And then number four, God provides abundant resources. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good work." Did you see how inclusive all of that was? I mean, what did God leave out? He didn't leave out anything. All of it is included there. He uses the word everything. That includes all of it. You see, wherever God leads, God will take care of you. King David said it this way, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." Listen, God owns everything in the universe, and everything is at his disposal. So we see here the scale of God's provision. Secondly, I want you to see the scope of his provision. Notice the gift that Paul received was sacrificial. In verse 18, "But I've received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." God used the church at Philippi to meet the need that Paul had. Paul is a prisoner in Rome for preaching the gospel. And God has laid it on the heart of the Philippian church to assist him in his ministry. Now, I want you to know the church at Philippi was not a wealthy church. You know, it wasn't the first Baptist church of Rome. Okay, it wasn't made up of doctors and lawyers and fancy people like that. It was just everyday folks, you know, like truck drivers, okay? And so it wasn't a rich church. And so the gift that they gave, it wasn't trivial. It was significant. It was a sacrifice. Now think about it. God sacrificed his son. Jesus sacrificed his life. What are we sacrificing for God? The church at Philippi, their gift was sacrificial. But not only that, the gift was satisfying. Notice there at the very last of that verse, it says, "What you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." It ought to be our desire that everything we do in life is well-pleasing to God. Not just pleasing to God, but well-pleasing to God. So we see here the scale of the provision. We see the scope of the provision. And then thirdly, the supply of God's provision. Notice here, God's supply is certain. Verse 19, and God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I want you to circle the word will. Did you notice it doesn't say he may? It doesn't say he might, but he says God will, the certainty of it. You don't have to say God if you will, but God you will. Paul was certain, the Apostle Paul was certain that God would meet all their needs. That brings me to the second point, and that is God's supply is comprehensive. Notice there it says, and God will supply all your needs. Didn't say some of them, didn't say most of them. It said God will supply all of your needs. Have you ever had to file a homeowner's insurance claim? I was pastoring in a church, and what happened was we had to file a claim. And they came in, the insurance company came in and said, oh, we're going to pay for this, we're going to pay for this, we're not paying for that, we're not paying for that, we're not paying for that. And I said, whoa, time out, why are you not paying for this? Oh, well, that's not covered in your policy. I said, what do you mean it's not covered? We have replacement. Said, yeah, but it's multiple peril, not all peril. I said, what are you talking about? Says, well, it only covers the things that are specified, and if it's not specified, it's not covered. The problem is you have the wrong policy. I said, no, the problem is I've got the wrong insurance company. Well, aren't you glad this morning that God doesn't have a multiple need policy, but God has an all need policy? It doesn't cover some things, it covers everything in your life. And my God shall supply all of your needs. Did you get that? God didn't say all your greeds, but all your needs. God doesn't say I'm going to supply all your wants. Now, why doesn't God give me all I want? Because there's some things I want that I don't need, and there's some things I need I don't want. What are you talking about? Well, I remember when I was in school. Can I tell you something? I never wanted homework. But I needed it to learn the material. I want you to know, I never was able to convince my daddy of this, but I never wanted a spanking. But can I tell you, I needed some of them. And so God says, I will supply all of your needs. An emotional need, a spiritual need, a physical need, a financial need, whatever need you have, God says, I will supply all your needs. So we see here the scale, the scope, and the supply. Number four, see, notice here the source of the provision. Verse 19, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I want you to see that God himself is the giver, and my God shall supply all of your need. Listen, if you have the giver, it doesn't matter what the gift is. You see, if you have the giver, you have all of the gifts, and God is the giver. Notice there what it says, my God will supply all your needs. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, this may seem technical, but it's very important. Notice he said he will supply all your needs according to his riches, not out of his riches. What's the difference? Well, let's say I'm walking down the sidewalk in Lincolnton, North Carolina, and I come up on Bill Gates, second richest man in the world. Bill Gates is so rich, if he dropped a $100 bill, it's not worth his time to pick it up. Bill Gates makes $116 a second, okay? So if he dropped a $100 bill, he'd be wasting probably $130, okay, just to pick it up. Of his time. And so I run into Bill Gates, and I say, "Oh, Bill, you know what? I'm having a hard time. I could really use some help." And he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out, and out of his riches, he would give me something. Well, if it were you and it were me, it'd be $17 is all you get, Johnny. Out of my riches. All right, but let's just say I'm walking down the street and I run into Bill Gates, and out of his riches, he could give me $17. But he doesn't give it out of his riches. He gives it according to his riches. And so instead, he reaches into his pocket. He pulls out his checkbook. He tells out a check, signs the bottom of it, and hands me a blank check. Now he's given me according to his riches. That's his $80 billion checking account. Do you understand that when God says, "I will supply all of your needs," he owns it all. And it's according to his riches, not out of his riches, that he will supply all of your need. But hold on. I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. The promise is exclusive. "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." This promise is only for those people who have committed their life to Jesus Christ. This promise is only to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, God has never promised to supply all of your needs. Only once you step over the line in faith and ask Jesus to come into your heart does he promise to supply all of your needs. And then the last thing I want you to see is the song. Once God has provided your needs, you and I need to praise him. Notice here how Philippians ends, verse 20. "Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen." The only way God can meet your need is for you to have a need. And then when God meets your need, it is for his glory. And God wants you to sing his praises about how God has showed up and has met your need according to his grace. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament. The three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they made a stand for God, and it got them in trouble. They have a need. They're fixing to be thrown into a fiery furnace if they don't bow down and worship the image. Notice here what it says in Daniel 3:17. "If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it." Amen? "And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." You see, they've made a stand for God. This morning you're here. You make a stand for God. Guess what? Your faith is going to be tested. Daniel's three friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, their faith was tested. They said, "Our God is a great God. Our God will supply our needs. We're going to stake our claim with God. And if God doesn't deliver us in this life, he'll deliver us in the next life. We're going to trust in God." Now, when they said that, they didn't know how it was going to end. You and I know how it ends. Notice there in verse 28. "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.'" See, when you have a need and God shows up, God gets praised, even by pagan kings. "Who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." A Babylonian king who worshiped idols brings praise and honor and glory to the God of heaven because one of his children had a need and they trusted him and God showed up. You understand when those three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace, it says, I see another one, a fourth man walking around and he's like the Son of God. Jesus got down in the fire with them and delivered them. They came out with no singed hair. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them when they came out. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. Poor widow woman had gotten sick and had a lot of medical needs. And she was at the end of her money before she was at the end of her month. It'd be another week before she'd get her check. She didn't have any groceries, didn't have any money. And so she got down on her knees and said, Dear God, you know, I haven't wasted what little bit I had. God, I've tried to be faithful and frugal with what you've trusted me with. But God, unless you show up, unless God, you bring me some groceries, I'll not have anything to eat. But God, I'm going to thank you and praise you ahead of time that you're going to meet my needs. Her landlord was an atheist. He overheard her pray. And he thought, I'm going to go play a trick on her. And he went down to the grocery store and he bought three bags of groceries and he waited till she went outside. He went into her apartment, put them there on the dining room table and waited on her to come back. Well, she came back, walked in there and saw all them groceries on that table and she just had a spell. She started thanking God and praising God and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And the landlord jumped out and he said, I want you to know it wasn't Jesus, it wasn't God, it was me. I went down to the grocery store and I bought those groceries. God had nothing to do with it. She jumped up and started praising God all over it. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Praise God for supplying all of these groceries and letting the devil pay for them. Folks, you understand that the woman had a need. She trusted God with the need. And God showed up and supplied that need. And she turned around and gave God honor and glory and praise. Folks, I want you to know I can stand up here today and say this, that God has never let me down. I have never had a need that I've trusted God for that he didn't meet. When I was 16 years old, I walked down an aisle just like this and gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And even though I was a sinner who deserved hell, God saved me and God changed me and God adopted me into his family and God started building me a home up in heaven. I want you to know a couple years later, as a freshman in college, God called me to the ministry. It wasn't long after that my mama died. I was homeless. I had no place to live. Can I tell you, God provided me a place to live. When I finished Gaston College, I wanted to go to Gardner Webb University. It was 10 times what I'd paid at Gaston. I didn't have the money to go, but you want me to tell you what? God said go. Can I tell you, God provided the resources. And then when it comes 7 years later for the student loans, guess what? God showed up and provided the money that I could pay for them. Can I tell you, when Teresa was pregnant with our first son, they came in and said, he's got spinal bifida or he's got Down syndrome. You know what we did? We said, all right, God, no matter what it is, who he is, what kind of shape he's in, God, he's your child. You gave him to us, and God, we're going to love him. And I want you to know he was born, and he didn't have not one single physical defect. 6 years later, she's expecting our second child. Guess what? He runs into trouble. They have to call in an emergency crew to come in. She almost dies. He almost dies. But guess what? God showed up and God provided. Several years later, my father-in-law has a massive heart attack. The best cardiologist on the Eastern Seaboard said, we give him no chance of survival. 28 years later, he's sitting in this place today. Can I tell you, God provides. Here's my point. When you have a need, God has a supply. When you trust God, God shows up to meet that need, and he expects you and I to turn around and to sing his praises and to give honor and glory to God. Now, here's my question this morning. What kind of need do you have? Is it a social need, an emotional need, a financial need, a relationship need, a spiritual need? What kind of need do you have? My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I want to remind you that promise is only for those who have trusted Jesus Christ. If you've not made that faith commitment, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, come down here and take me by the hand. Say, Pastor, I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ and trust Him with every need in my life. You say, Pastor, I've already done that. But I have a financial need. I have a need in my family. I have a need in my marriage. I have a need with my health. I have a need on my job. Whatever kind of need, I'm going to ask you in a moment. Just get up out of your seat, come to this altar, and say, God, I claim your promise that you will supply all my needs. Heavenly Father, Lord God, if you would bankrupt heaven and send your only Son to die in our place, how much more will you not give us all things? Help us now, God, to step out from our seats and to trust you with every need of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.